Good to see everyone here this morning. I want to talk this morning about victorious faith. I chose an excerpt out of 1 John's epistle to the Ephesian church. It's got a lot of meat in it, and we're going to cover some of that this morning, hopefully. We're in 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5. For our visitors, we have the word on the wall. I use the English Standard Version Bible. That way we're reading from the same one. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Father, I thank You that Your word is truth. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. I thank You for the Holy Spirit, who is also the Spirit of truth. Father, I ask that You bless the preaching of Your word this morning. I know it's already anointed. I ask that You anoint me as the speaker to speak Your mind to this congregation. If there's any here today that don't know You, I pray this will be a day of salvation. And I ask it all in Jesus' name and for Your glory. Amen. What does John mean that we must believe that Jesus is the Christ? I've been thinking about that this week, and there's a lot of people in this country who believe in Jesus. I've heard people say, I believe Jesus was a good moral teacher. They might even say, I believe Jesus was a prophet. I believe in Jesus because history shows that He actually did live. Josephus the historian talks about Him in his Antiquities of the Jews. The question is this morning, to me, is why did John say whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God? And my second question is, why is it so important that we overcome the world? John said that three times in this text. He mentions overcoming the world. So let's address the first question. Why did John say that we must believe that Jesus is the Christ? Christ is not His last name. And we use it that way. We'll say Jesus Christ, our Lord. But actually, the correct way to use His name is Jesus the Christ. All right? The Christ in Hebrew is Christos. That's a derivative of, or in Greek, I'm sorry, is Christos. That's the derivative of the Hebrew word, Mashiach. And in the Hebrew word, Mashiach means the Anointed One. And that is the name that we get Messiah from. John said we have to believe that Jesus is the Anointed One. Well, if He's anointed, what's the purpose of the anointing? They anointed kings in the Old Testament. They would pour anointing oil on them, and they would pronounce them king in the name of God. And the king was known as an anointed of the Lord. David wouldn't put a hand against Saul, even when his own men encouraged him twice to kill Saul because he had Saul in his grasp. And David said, I won't lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. It was recognized that the anointed of the Lord had a special purpose. So for us to say in the church, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I think a lot of people don't understand this fully. You're saying, I believe that Jesus is the Anointed One of God. Well, what was He anointed for? He's anointed there some purpose. Jesus didn't wander around the earth aimlessly. He had a purpose. He had a purpose from God, and he knew the purpose. In Luke 4:18 through 19, Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah 61, verse 1. It said he went into his hometown synagogue. This was after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, was tempted of the devil, and he got victory over the devil, and his ministry began. God had to put him through the desert before he could begin his public ministry. And Jesus went into his hometown synagogue. It said that he stood up, as was his custom. Jesus was the lawgiver. None of the people there knew that, but he was the one who gave the law to Moses. And he stood up, and the attendant handed him the scroll. Every man that had been bar mitzvahed was allowed to read the Hebrew scripture. And it said he unrolled the scripture till he found this verse, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Now this isn't just the physical poor, this is the spiritual poor. We've been studying that on Wednesday night. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Here I've come to bring good news to the poor." Who? The poor in spirit. You see, this is equated with a year of Jubilee in the law. Every 50 years, they had a year of Jubilee. The trumpets were blown. All debts were canceled. Any land that had been sold in order to collect money to pay a debt was given back to the family. It was a year of freedom and favor. And Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read Isaiah 61, 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And it said when he handed the attendant the scroll and he sat down. Now they had a seat in the synagogue. Every synagogue had a Moses seat, they called it. It sat on a little elevated platform. Some were more elaborate than others. But when the scribes and the Pharisees taught, they sat in the Moses seat. And I believe Jesus took his seat in the Moses seat, and it said every eye was on him. And he said, "Today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing." Now the Jew understood that Jesus was saying, "I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. I am the anointed one." What is he anointed to do? To give good news to the poor in spirit. To say to the prisoner of sin, "Your captivity's over." To open the prison doors. To free those who are bound. The Hebrew, according to Dr. Clark, refers to a man not only being locked in a cell, but being chained in that cell. The most notorious prisoners in this day, that's how they were guarded. They locked them into a cell, but they also locked their hands and feet into fetters, into shackles or chains. And Jesus says, that's how sin has you right now. If you're not a child of God right now, you are bound by sin. Okay? You're in prison. You're in a spiritual prison. Only Jesus Christ can open that door and set you free. Sin will not set you free. Sin is a death sentence. Okay. So now what is John saying to the church? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the anointed Messiah who has come to free them from sin. See, that's a little more in-depth than just everyone who believes in Jesus. Because I've heard a lot of people say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, so that makes me a good person. Or, you know, I think God will judge me, and if I haven't done too much bad, then he's going to let me into heaven because I do believe in Jesus. I talked to a Baptist minister one time, told me I rode John 3:16 to hell for years. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, when the Christians would start in on me about my beer and my habits and tell me you need to be in church, you know, you need to be in the fellowship with the church, he said, I'd always shoot back, I believe in Jesus Christ, so therefore I have everlasting life. But that's not what John means. You have to believe that Jesus is the anointed of God, anointed to save you from sin. So you got to believe you need to be saved. This is who John's referring to, okay? People take this as a general statement and a wide statement. This covers anyone who believes. Well, James said even the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble in fear at his name. So John is talking to the blood-bought Christian. If you're not a child of God, if you've never came to God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, then you are lost. I don't care how much you believe in Jesus. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you read the Bible. Now, I said this statement has meat. Because John had a group of people called the Gnostics coming in and saying, Jesus is a consciousness. It's the Christ consciousness. And it came on Jesus at his baptism, but it took off when he was crucified. So the man Jesus just had the Christ conscience until his death. And now it has ascended back into heaven. And you can be the Christ. And you can be the Christ. And I can be the Christ. If we pay $29.95 for their tape series or their books and get this secret gnosis, this wisdom, and this knowledge of God. And the farther you go in the knowledge, the closer you get to God. John said to the church, you have the anointing. You don't need somebody to teach you. Then what are we paying you for? My gifts of the Holy Spirit are number one, preaching, number two, teaching. I do not say that in arrogance. I've come to grips with that. When I first went into the ministry, people come up and say, preacher, I did not like being called preacher. I didn't like it at all. It's like, oh, man, don't call me preacher. I'm not a preacher. But now I accept it. I'm a preacher, a herald of the truth. And this is what John is doing this morning to the church. He's saying, look, if you believe that Jesus is the anointed one, anointed to save you from sin because you are a sinner, he said, then you know God. It takes humility on your part and on my part to come before a holy God and say, you're right. I am a sinner. What's a sinner? The Greek harmatia, sin, means to miss the mark. It means you're going this way and you deviate. You're trying to get to God, but you keep deviating. Jesus said the road that leads to destruction is wide and there's a lot of people on it. That's my paraphrasation of what he said. He said many on it. It's wide, it's broad, it's easy. Satan will always offer you the path of least resistance. So, I'm going to reiterate this again. Hey, we get it. Good. I want to be sure you get this truth. Those who believe that Jesus is the anointed Messiah has been born of God. Now you remember when Nicodemus came and asked Jesus, came at night, he didn't want anybody seeing him talking to him, you know, because he still wasn't real sure who Jesus was. And he said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do the things you do unless God was with him. That was a good confession. Nicodemus was being humble. He said, I know you got to come from God. And I love the way the Lord handles this. He goes right to the heart of the matter. He knows what's on Nicodemus's mind. So he says, Nicodemus, amen, amen. Verily, verily is how we translate that. Amen, amen. When a rabbi said that, he was saying, this is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and you better pay close attention to what I'm saying. He said, Nicodemus, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven till you've been born again. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He had memorized possibly the first five books of the law. They started training Pharisees between the ages of 3 and 5. Mama would take you to the Pharisee school and drop you off, and they had you for years training you to be an outward religious man, knowing the law. The word Pharisee meant separatist, the elite. They wouldn't hang around with anybody who had a Pharisee because they was afraid they'd get dirty. A lot of people in church like that now, a lot of professed Christians. Well, I ain't going around there because they cuss. Have you heard their language? I had a young lady at the town and country that day dropped a big old cuss word bomb, and this girl got her man, and she goes, she turned around, her face was just beet red. She said, I'm so sorry. I know what she said. He's a preacher. Better watch your mouth. He's a preacher. Well, what's the preacher going to do to you? I looked at her and I said, young lady, you haven't offended me one bit. You offended God, not me. How did I get over there? Because there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus. And I respected the fact that she respected I was a minister. You know, okay. But I can't get you into heaven. I can't absolve you from sin. Only Jesus Christ can. Yeah. And if you don't believe that, Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you're not born again, the Greek means born from above, born of God. So John says, if you believe that Jesus is the anointed Messiah who came to save you from your sins, and you've accepted that, then you've been born of God. How do I know that? It's his promise. John said he came to his own, Jesus came to his own, and they did not receive him. Even though the world was made by him, when he came, the world didn't recognize him. But John said to all those who did, who believed in his name, he gave the right. One translation says the power. The Amplified says the authority to become children of God. I'm still a work in progress. I'm being changed from image to image. I'm being made to look more and more like my Master, Jesus Christ. I've been born of God. I hope you have. I remember when President Reagan in one debate, somebody said, are you a born-again Christian? He said, well, I'm not familiar with born-again, but I consider myself a Christian. I thought, Ronnie, you better go home and read the book. Because if you ain't born again, you ain't a Christian. You're just religious. This is what John's saying. You that believe this, you've been born of God. And he said, if you love God, you're going to love whom God sent. Jesus said that to the Jews. You know, they were claiming they loved God the Father. He said, if you knew who the Father was, you'd love me. But he said, you don't know who he is. And Jesus said, I do know him, and if I said I didn't, I'd be a liar like you. Whoa, I thought Jesus preached all squishy, lovey-feely sermons, you know. Just made everybody go, oh. No, Jesus told the truth. He told it short, and he told it sweet. He kept it simple so we could understand it. The Bible calls us sheep. Sheep are not the brightest animals in the world. John said, you've been born of God, born from above. Cool. I mentioned this morning, he has sent the spirit of adoption into our hearts whereby we may cry, Abba. Abba is an Aramaic term. It's a term of endearment. Literally, it means daddy. You can call the Father of the universe Daddy. Intimate. He loves you. Why? John said, because you set this to your seal that God is true. When you believed the news you heard about Jesus. See, this is who John's talking to. There's always been and always will be a group in the church who are not saved. They think they are. They profess they are. They look like sheep. They talk like sheep. They act like sheep. They dress like sheep. But Jesus said they're wolves. Okay? Are you trying to get me to question my salvation? No. I'm trying to secure you in your salvation. Okay? This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. He wants you to understand that if you believe that Jesus is the Savior and you needed to be saved from your sins and that's why you came to Him, He said you've been born of God and God has placed His Spirit within you. And I love this next part. I'm going to cut it short. John said, that's the faith that overcomes the world. Oh, God, I've been praying. The old devil's been beating me up. Oh, I've just been sinning. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. I wish you'd hit me with and give me that power to resist sin. And the Lord said, hey, you have that power. You have that authority. That's why it sickens me when I hear a Christian, especially if he's an elder, a man of authority in the church saying, well, now, brother, we just have to sin. There's nothing we can do about that. Till they throw dirt in our face, I'll always be a sinner. Then you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what my Bible says. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let me add a little piece to that, if I may. It won't be pleasant when you see Him. Well, God doesn't expect me to be holy. I'm as unholy as they come. I know that and He knows that, but He said, you better be holy because I'm holy. And then He empowered you to be holy. I saw something. I checked my Facebook this morning. This guy remarked, we're just saved by grace and anything more, it's just all grace and there's nothing more. And one guy texted back and said, sit, talk, stand. And this guy, he goes, what does that mean? He said, well, I don't know. I'm at the sitting part right now, you know. But he explained, sit is you, when you receive your salvation from Jesus Christ. There's nothing you do but believe. I agree with that. But after you believe, James said, faith without works is dead. If you're not changed, something's wrong, okay? He's in the business of changing people. Now, I've heard the testimonies of people said, man, I was a heroin addict, you know, $1,000 a day addict, and I got saved and all that was gone. I never did heroin again. Praise God for that testimony. I was one who walk, fall, stumble, fall, hold off, not hold off, and the Lord I found to be merciful the whole time. But because I repented. Big word. We don't use that anymore. We're afraid it's going to scare people off. Oh, don't preach repentance, brother, or they'll leave. I had a man in this church one time tell me, I'm sick and tired of you preaching about unity. We've heard all about unity we want to hear. Really? Jesus said we're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be one as He and the Father are one. He said, so they may be one as we are one, and we may be in them. You don't want unity in the body of Christ. God doesn't want anything to do with you. I'm telling you the truth. He says, you go sit over here and have your pity party and pout, suck your thumb and talk about how nobody loves me, nobody understands. Because He's building a kingdom is what He's doing. Okay? The church had the world coming in and attacking Him. Who's the god of this world? Satan. He's called the god of this age. John said, the fact that you believe that Jesus is your Savior is the faith that overcomes the world. You're an overcomer. If you are a child of God, you are an overcomer. It's not that you're going to be one of these days. Maybe someday, if everything works out, you are an overcomer now. And that means that anything that the devil brings against you, the world brings against you, or your flesh brings against you, you have the faith to overcome that. Yeah, Jesus said, I give you power to walk on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Don't run out there barefoot and start stomping on snakes. There's people that literally do stuff like that. I will show I'm spirit-filled by holding a cotton mouth. All you've shown me is you don't have a lot of common sense. Cotton mouths don't like being held, you know. And I don't like holding, and if the Lord tells me to pick up a snake, I will, but until then, I'm not. That's the way I feel about that. Let me get back over here where I belong. Church, get a hold of this. If you don't get a hold of nothing else today, get a hold of this. You're already an overcomer. When God looks at you, He doesn't see a sap. But how often do we cry out to God and say, oh, God, give me the victory. I don't have the victory. And one day I said that, and the Holy Spirit said, I can't do anything else. Jesus Christ did it all on the cross, Rick. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the world. And He conquered the devil. You know why we got to have victory over the world? Jesus said, because the world hates me. Because I testify that its deeds are evil. And He said, let me help you understand something, children. We're His children. He said, listen to me, kids. They're going to hate you too. They're going to pull out all the stops when they come against you. They're going to try to make you look like a bigot, like you're narrow. And that's a compliment when somebody tells me, well, you're just kind of narrow. Thank you. I'm on the right path. Yeah, Jesus said the path that leads to life is narrow and constricted by pressure. Very few find it. Now, some people hear that and they go, well, no chance of me getting on that path of life. I might as well stay on the broad, easy road. Then you choose to. Yeah, you choose to. Jesus Christ came so you didn't have to stay there. I was on it for years. Some of my family are still on it. Get drunk and sing gospel songs. Yeah, we'd get together and they'd get wasted. Hey, Rick, play the other thing, Christ. Okay. Had no more effect on them. Love to sing about Jesus. Like to talk about Jesus, but don't ask me to live for Jesus. Yeah, that's where a lot of heads are. I believe in Jesus. Then what are you doing with Him? You may not live tomorrow. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people die. I know you get tired of hearing that. But it still, it shakes me sometimes when I think about how many people I've seen die. 70. I kept a record. That's kind of gross, isn't it? I kept a book, a J4 book. Every time I worked a fatality, I wrote it down, and I counted it, and there's 70 in there. In 5 years, that's over 12 people a year that I saw die. And you know, I could tell sometimes when they weren't Christians, the look on their face was terror. Surprise. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You can step out of this church and get T-bone coming down the driveway there, and we'll pull you out there, and you'll be deader than a mackerel. That's good news if you're ready to go. Yeah. And you should be. Now, Christians sin. I'm not saying if you're a Christian you won't sin. But I am saying if you're a Christian, you're not a slave to sin. Jesus said, I set you free. And that's that faith. James said, humble yourselves under God. Then resist the devil. I used to quote, oh, resist the devil and he will flee. That's not what James said. He said, submit to God first. Then resist the devil. And John's telling the church, you already got all that faith. The same faith that caused you to come to Jesus Christ and say, you are my Savior. Do you know Him being your Savior isn't just a one-time deal to save you from your past sins? It's a lifetime of being your Savior. That means I can call on Him anytime I want and say, Lord, save me from this. And He'll say, here I am. He'll tell all them demons, you get back out of His way. I read one time an old elder at some Christian church told a young man, there's a sign over my spiritual heart that says no vacancy. He said, whenever Satan brings me some kind of temptation, I say, there ain't no room for that here. Go on. Oh, church, we don't understand the power we already have. Satan has so convinced the church today that we're to be meek and quiet and stay out of the limelight. Don't get involved in political affairs. Don't get involved in current affairs. Just be quiet and practice your faith over here. You know why? Because when the church walks in that anointing power of faith, it kicks the gates of hell in, and he doesn't like that. We're supposed to be kicking the hell out of the gates of hell. Oh, preacher said hell. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Look it up. It is. You know what I'm saying? All the powers of hell, Jesus said, all the powers of hell and gates are defensive. He said, will not prevail against my church. Well, who's his church? Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those who have been born again of God. You and I are victorious. I read to the end of Revelation. God won the war. We fight battles all the time, church. And sometimes we get knocked down and get our noses bloody and we get our shirt all dirty. And we get up and God says, wipe the blood off, change your shirt and come on. Keep moving. In Micah 7, the prophet says, do not rejoice against me, my enemy, when I fall, for I shall get up. Woo! I like that. Satan doesn't like that kind of faith. You and me and you, however that's correct, ought to be the kind of saints that every time we hit our knees, the devil goes, oh no, they're praying again. Hang on, boys, it's fixing to get rough. Yeah. You see, all this power I'm talking about has been given to us through Jesus Christ because of our faith in Him. And it's God's power, not Rick's. You know something the Holy Spirit showed me a little while back? I didn't really like it. He said, you know why your health is failing in some areas? Because you've been trying to do this in the flesh. You've been taking your stand in the flesh. Trying to stand against the trouble. And I told you to let me defend you. That's what the Lord told me. Let me defend you. I had to repent of that. I have repented of it. I ain't going to get to hear that again because I ain't walking in the flesh. Ain't, boy, God, correct his English, please. I'm not going to be walking in the flesh. You're not my enemies. There ain't a person in this room who's my enemy. Satan's my enemy. But Satan will use you if you allow him to. Oh, yeah. Satan's in every church in America. Now, he's not omnipresent like God. But Satan has an innumerable company of angels. So he and his henchmen are in every church of America every Sunday or every Saturday, whichever day they choose to worship. And they're in there stirring a stink. And we who have the authority in the name of Jesus to drive them out, argue with each other. Josh McDowell said in the control room of hell, there's all these control panels and these buttons where the demons sit, and there's lust and power and money and drugs and alcohol and sex. They can hit these buttons to tempt you. He said the most worn out button, you can barely discern the letters on it, is what about me? And he said, that's the one the demons hit the most. What about me? What's in this for me? Peter asked Jesus that. Well, we've left everything to follow you. What's in it for us? Jesus said, you'll gain everything back in this world and in the world to come, eternal life. I'd rather lose everything in this old world as to lose my walk with my Savior. Yeah. This is just stuff. It's stuff. it's stuff I'm close to. Some of the stuff I have was given to me by my dad and my mom, and they're both gone, and they belong to my grandparents, you know, and it has a very big sentimental value. I wouldn't take all the gold in Fort Knox for it. But God has reminded me on more than one occasion, it's just stuff, Rick. That's all it is. He's given the church a victorious faith. And you cannot get any simpler than that, than what John said. If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He came here to save you from your sins, that you have received that truth, that you have obeyed Him, He said, you already have the faith that conquers the world. Why aren't we conquering it? Because we choose not to. Wow. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill your body and afterwards there's nothing else they can do. Fear Him who can throw both soul and body into hell. That's the one you better fear. I walk in victory through Jesus Christ. And I'll say that if I'm laying flat on my face on the ground wondering, what happened? Yeah. You can walk in victory. I'm not special just because I'm a minister. Jesus didn't give me a double portion of the Spirit. I've just accepted the truth that the Word of God says. God doesn't lie. And if God said, Rick, you're a victorious child of mine, then I'm victorious. And the devil knows it. And he's going to do everything he can to try to come around and trip me up, make me fall down. What a God we serve. Yeah. Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here this morning and you say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I've never believed that He was my Savior, that I needed to be saved from sin, then you need to come up here and sit down and let's talk about it. Just believing in Jesus is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said if you're not born again, born from above, born by the Holy Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul said no man can call Jesus Lord except through the Holy Spirit. I've had people say, well, how do I know I received the Holy Spirit? If you obey God's commands, you receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but I didn't have a lightning flash, earth-shaking experience. Nowhere have I ever read where you will. It just plainly says you will receive the Holy Ghost. And that's a key word there, you receive. You say, come, Lord Jesus, come. If you need to do that this morning, would you come up here and sit down, and I'll be glad to talk to you. If you're here this morning and you are in spiritual battles and you feel like I can't go one step further, you get a hold of that nail-scarred hand and you say, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, and you'll have the power to walk and walk in that victory. I'm supposed to play, ain't I?
I'm finding my freedom. washing all our sins.
We added a young lady to the prayer list, I think, last week, Starla Tallman. And Lisa just informed me they took her to St. Louis Hospital by ambulance. And the doctors have placed a tube in, try to drain the fluid off the brain. It was getting worse. She's blind in one eye, and they said they doubt she'll ever get sight back in that. So Starla Wilhite, be praying for her. She's only 18?
Yeah, she's a senior.
A senior in high school. So that'd be one name you need to lift up to the Lord. The doctors had said if they tried to take the fluid off, it'd kill her. But it got to the point they said, we got to try it. So she's not in the best shape in the world. Any other requests you want to bring to the body?
Remember Vonda Bungard? I think she's on our prayer list already. She had gone to St. Louis to her cancer doctor up there. And she does have cancer of the bone marrow.
Oh, boy.
So she's been put on the bone marrow list transplant. So, and they told her if she does nothing, maybe 5 years, but if she could get that bone marrow transplant, that'll improve her.
Okay. Oh, boy. What's his name again?
Jim.
Remember Sheena also. They put her on, she had surgery to remove a tumor on her brain, and she's been having seizures, so.
Yeah. Brain can't take much pressure. It doesn't have anywhere to expand, so when it gets to be pressed upon, a lot of things happen. So please remember these requests. You don't have to know their names, but just lift them up to the Lord. Remember, there's no service tonight. Who has our closing prayer? Don, would you please close for us?
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this day that you've given us, and we're thankful for this service. We're thankful that we can lay aside our cares for a while and just concentrate and open our hearts on you. We just pour out our love for these people that's been mentioned. We want to ask your help in their healing. We'd like for you to comfort their families and make yourself known to them. We pray for this coming week that we can remain strong in faith and not fail you. We ask that you'd bring us all back together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all